First Chronicles chapter 12, that's in the Old Testament, and there's a group of mighty warriors, this big group of mighty warriors who came to fight with and to help King David. I'm going to read it. It's in First Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. This is what it says in the NLT. From the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. All these men understood the signs of the times, and they knew the best course for Israel to take. I believe this verse speaks to us right now, church. I mean, that's thousands of years ago when that was written. We can ignore the times around us and watch them pass us by. Or we can understand the times in which God has placed us and respond to them with wisdom. Thousands of years ago, the men of Issachar put all that they are into King David and his success. And I can tell you that right now, I'm putting all that I am into the local church for such a time as this in our history. What an amazing time we live in right now. God's church right now is desperately needed in a real and relevant way. I don't have to have holy jeans and rocker style. You know, we don't have to have a fog machine to be relevant. What we need to be is bring God's word into people's lives and make it relevant to them right now. That's the relevance that people are looking for. I'm just a side note. Why y'all trying to be cool anyway? We all know we ain't cool. Come on, right? Being cool is not being cool. I don't even know what that means, but that feels right. Amen. We got to not be something that we aren't. We have to be who God has made us to be. We need to talk about the real and relevant ways that God has touched us in our life and the struggles we may face right now and the hardships we may be going through. God needs for us to be real and relevant because people need to see a real and relevant church that says, you know what, I'm facing battles you're facing. I'm in the same boat you might be in, but here's the thing is I have the truth. And I have hope right now. And God has already gotten me through these things. And I used to do drugs, sex, and alcohol. And I used to go out and do the things the world says. That never got me through. It actually got me deeper into those things. But right now, God is getting me through. We need to be relevant. Can you think of another time in history when the church has had so much work to do? Other than the very beginning when it was started. Incredible. Awake, O sleeper. Awake. God's church. One of the reasons I have such great hope for the church is Jesus. He established it, and he promised that it would prevail no matter the times that it's in or the circumstances the church may face. In Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to be reading 15 through 19, those verses, in the New King James Version. Matthew 16, that's the chapter, verses 15 through 19. It says this. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Verse 17. Jesus answered and said to them, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or hell, shall not prevail against it. Verse 19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In this passage, this is where Jesus established the Christian church. The Greek word translated for church is ecclesia. Say with me at home, ecclesia. Ecclesia, what does that mean? It means this, quote, "a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into a public assembly," end quote. Or another one is, quote, "an assembly of Christians gathered for worship," end quote. It's interesting to note that the word church in the Bible never refers to a building. It always refers to a gathering of people. So this building that I'm in preaching right now, this is not the church. You and I are the ecclesia. We are the local gathering in the name of Jesus. So I want to say this again. Welcome to church, everybody. The Greek word for Peter is Petros. The Greek word for rock is Petra. Jesus was using Peter's name in verse 18 as a play on words. It was like this. Let's say your name is Rocky, right? Rocky. And Jesus said to you, "You are Rocky, and on this rock I will build my church." And you would say, "Adrian!" Maybe not. But that's what Jesus was doing. Jesus, he is the foundation of everything the church does. The church is built on the platform and the foundation of Christ. And Peter is the first stone used in the building. Peter declared in Matthew 16:16, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." What a proclamation. See, you have to understand that we say it so freely, but the Jews, the Israelites, they've been waiting, God's people, thousands of years to say this. They've been expecting the Messiah, years and years and years. But if you've made that same declaration with your life and also with your voice, you are also a part of Jesus' church. Matthew 16:19 says this. Jesus is talking. "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Wow. What a tremendous power and responsibility Jesus has given us, the church. Only God can forgive sins. Okay? Only God can say who is saved. So I don't want us thinking that we have the power to preach heresy, where we can, your sins are forgiven and your sins are forgiven. Jesus forgives sins, or you are saved and you're not saved. That's heresy. So what does this verse mean? We as the local church have the power to bind and loose things here on earth, like in heaven? All right, I want to say it this way. Hopefully this will explain it. See, Jesus in God's word in the New Testament, a lot of times he does things called parables. And parables are stories. Or what he does is he does a lot of comparisons. The kingdom of God is like, you know. He does like a lot of these things. And I want to try to explain what we just read in that verse this way. Let's say the gospel, right? The gospel of Jesus, the Bible, the gospel of Jesus Christ is a 2020 Mustang Shelby GT500. That's the most powerful and fastest Mustang of all time. So it has within it the power it needs to get its work that needs to get done. It has the power within it. Now imagine, Jesus comes up to you and says, "Here you go. Here are the keys, my child. Where are you going to take it?" This Bible verse is saying that the power to bring freedom and break chains is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel doesn't need us, but Jesus values us so very much, and he wants a relationship with you and I so very much, and he wants us so badly to be a part of his work that he says, "Here is the gospel. Here is the keys. Where are you going to take it?" The church has the authority to bring the full power and truth of heaven with it to a hurting and sinful world. Well, that's unless you choose to park it in the garage. As long as the Lord allows me to have influence in this church, the part of the ecclesiasta that I'm a part of and that I'm gathered in that contains me, we're not just going to pull the gospel out of the garage to give it a buff and a shine. We won't just pull it out to listen to the engine purr while we read the manual together and then just park it inside so it doesn't get dirty. As far as I have influence, we're going to take those keys, we're going to put the pedal to the metal, come screaming out the driveway and see what this gospel of Jesus Christ has under its hood. We got to go, church. We got to go. Let's go. So this is a perfect time to invite you to something we've been doing for the last 3 weeks. It's called our April prayer drive. My wife had a dream, you might remember this, and she had a dream that we could go and we could pray for the hospitals and the medical facilities in our city that are dealing with COVID-19 and other sicknesses. And we meet every Friday night of this month. This Friday will be the last Friday of April and our fourth time together. And we meet at 6:45 in our parking lot, and you have to stay in your car to stay under the rules that we have right now. And then you're going to follow my car at 7 p.m. Currently with COVID-19, we can't walk and pray and go to these places and lay hands on people with the guidelines that we're following right now to our local churches. But what we can do is we can come together and we can drive and we can pray together. This Friday, we added Heritage Nursing Home this week. It was our second prayer focus. Dave Kesterson led us in that after we gathered together on our normal run. We came back to the church and we followed him over there. And let me tell you, when we went to St. Luke's, that was our first drive-through spot, there were nurses and a bunch of people out waving at us as we drove by. We have our lights flashing because we're the lights of the world. And then as we're driving, we're going around. PCI is another big medical facility, and even somebody wrote us on there that they're struggling with cancer, and that's where they go, and they're blessed by us praying for that. And may you be healed of cancer right now where you're at. God, the God of restoration who can restore our souls, I pray that right now he restores your cells in your body, and cancer must go by the blood of Jesus. And so then on PCI, we're going by and we go to Mercy, and at Mercy, right there at their ER, there was doctors out there and nurses, and they're just sitting there waving. And we're just going by flashing our lights. And then we come back to the church, and as we go to Heritage Nursing Home, we're there, and we park, and we didn't want to honk the horns. I know a couple of you did. Don't honk the horns because people might be sleeping or might be in pain or whatever. But we were there, and had our blinkers on, our hazards were on, and they knew that we were there, and they already prepared that we were coming to pray for them, and we filled the parking lot of cars that parked and just faced them, and as we prayed for them. And then as we're driving out, there was three nurses that came out, and one of them has her mask on, and you just see her crying and crying, and thank you so much, thank you. And we were privileged to drive right by them first, and when we saw that and rolled down the windows, we said, we love you, we're praying for you, thank you for what you are doing. And they're just crying, and church, that's what it's like to be the church. It's not about us, but what can we do for the kingdom of God? What can we do for people? I don't drive a souped-up Mustang in the flesh. I drive a dark gray four-door Durango, and it's loaded with my family. But in the spirit, together, church, we're going to see a freeing and healing power of Jesus in our community, in our city, in these places of medical facilities, and in our nation and in the world. Driving with the keys Jesus gives us may get a little messy. Might get a chip in the windshield. We might even get a ding in the side, but the gospel was meant to be driven. Church, we've been given the keys to the kingdom. So, will we, moved by his power, covered by his insurance, and let the Holy Spirit drive? Or are we going to just park it in the garage? Jesus has given us the gathering of his children, the keys to the power, to his power. So whatever's loosed here on earth will be loosed in heaven for all of eternity, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Amen, 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 amen. So I've heard a lot of people say that they hate organized religion. And I understand why. I used to hate organized religion. Like, I get it. See, because throughout history, we've forgotten our mission and we've forgotten our purpose. We thought church was about structure and hierarchy, when it was actually all about the people we were called to reach. Here at First Open Bible, our yearly vision, you might remember it, has been one of what? Refocus. The only perfect vision is God's vision, and we want to refocus so we can have 2020 vision, which is perfect vision. And there's only one person that has perfect vision, and that's God. We want to have his vision. Now, I said back in January when I cast the vision for the year here at First Open Bible that God was going to strip, you remember this, all the fruitless parts of us, strip all the fruitless parts of the church. You remember that? He was going to tear down the structure of what man has built and rebuild on the four building blocks of his first church that's found in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Look where we are right now. Look where we are. Church, plain and simple, it has always been and will always be about relationships. It's our relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And our relationship with one another. In English, you read the word fellowship in Acts chapter 2. The word written in God's word was in Greek back then. And a lot of times Greek has a lot better meaning than our words in English. And the word there is called koinonia. And this is what it means. It means unity, sharing, close association, partnership, a society, a communion, a brotherhood, participation, and helpful contribution. The word koinonia, at its richest meaning, literally means, quote, a deep sense of spiritual unity, spiritual communion with the Lord and with each other, end quote. It is a public gathering in the name of Jesus. So although many hate organized religion, here's the best thing about organized religion. It is organized. Right? Yeah, I went to school for that. Hallelujah. No. See, when you're organized, that's when you get things done. You can walk into a messy house and you try to find something in that, you're not going to find it. But if it's organized, things are in order, and God is a God of order, and he likes things in order. I'm not saying that you have to put them in a box. I'm just saying there's a rhyme and a method with God. And if things are organized, we can get things done. And God has called us to gather together to find ways to live, share, and spread the truth and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, we have a common mission and a call. We can't complete it without each other. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 6 in the NLT says this. Just as our bodies have been parts, and each part, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, verse 5, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we belong to each other, verse 6. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. You've been given some things, and you can do some things all by yourself, but it'd be like a thumb without a hand, right? A thumb by itself is not good for much more than hitching a ride or telling somebody, good job, right? But when you bring some fingers into it, when working together with fingers, there's no end to things a thumb can grasp, open, move, pull, push, or shape. It's the same way with the body of Christ. Our different gifts working in conjunction with one another, open up ministry and gospel opportunities that we could never imagine on our own. You can't be all you're created to be without us. And we can't be all we're created to be without you. Gathering together is the difference. The trends may say church attendance is down, but we don't have to be subject to the trends of our culture, do we? We're called to change and shape the world together by the power of the gospel. It's the power that God has gave us when we come together. Hebrews 10:25 says, "And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." In God's word, it prophesies that there's birthing pains of our world, and tell me that that's not what's happening right now. There are birthing pains that are happening. And I'm not just talking about COVID-19. Y'all see earthquakes. Right now in Africa, we gotta pray for Africa in the Republic of Congo. They're having floods and mudslides and awful things happening there. And there's earthquakes all over. There's even earthquakes happening that earthquakes don't normally ever happen. And they're not getting little tremors. They're getting big earthquakes. Especially now, the day of his return is drawing near. And if you have a passion for end time things and you get into God's word, you should be in the front lines of telling people about Jesus, because you know where we're at right now. You should be proclaiming, you should be looking to the heavens, looking to the clouds, and also looking to the lost. We need you to help us, lead us. You know where we're at right now. And guess where we're at right now? We're confined to our homes. Many things have stopped that we thought were normal life. We find ourselves mostly left with our families and our thoughts. I pray you've been taking this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to think about things that really matter. Are you thinking about things that will make a difference? Have you thought about the priorities that might have been yours before this all started? Or maybe the priorities that were forced upon you because of the trends of this once busy world that they pushed into your life, and you accepted that? I'm not asking you today to add another thing to your already busy life. I am suggesting this, though. We all make the work of the kingdom of God a priority, since it's the only work that really makes an eternal difference. One of the only ways to do that is to keep the priority of us regularly meeting together, to have church together. The need we have to gather together goes way beyond what we can get done or what we can do. See, when we meet together, it affects who we are, and it will affect in who we will become. We're all called to go deeper in our relationship with Jesus, to experience greater freedom in his spirit, and to undergo a more complete transformation into his likeness. There's so much in this world right now that questions, contradicts, and attacks the true word of God. When we gather together, we're reminded of the truth, right? Of what God has said, the truth of who God is, and the truth of who we are in Jesus. You said that when you were singing. Colossians 3:16 in the NLT says this: "Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts." You don't have to go to this church, First Open Bible. You don't have to go here. But the Bible does tell us you should be connected to a local church. See, the truth is we're all a little home blind. There are ways that we are all a little off and maybe even a little bit wrong, including myself. That's why you got to search Scripture. Iron sharpens iron, but you can't sharpen iron if you're not around another piece of iron. We all have different blind spots, right? Different experiences, even different strengths and different weaknesses. And we're all used to doing things and seeing things our own way. If you want to grow to the next level in the way that you follow Jesus, you have to get beyond your own voice and your own interpretation of God's word. You have to join a Bible-believing and a Bible-doing church. Our meeting together as a church is important for our growth, our unity, and our purpose. That's why the Bible says you should not forsake it. Coming to an end here. And I'm not really super concerned about how often less people attend church right now and how that makes our weekly attendance lower on average. But I am concerned that if we forsake our meeting together, the truth will quietly slip from the forefront of our minds, and we'll all go back to the way things were before COVID-19. We'll just go back to business as usual. We've been given a gift, church, a gift to reevaluate our priorities in our lives as we take a break from what the world has called normal. Gathering here with you every week keeps our lives on track for what we believe in our hearts. For the first time in my life, we're all in the same boat and we're all battling and fighting the same physical fight. So as you sit in your home right now or in your car or at work or wherever you are watching this service, I want you to know I know that you're facing some difficulties. When tough times come for you, I want the church family to be there for you. When tough times come for me or my family, I want you to be there for me. What a difference that makes in our lives. What a difference it makes when we gather together. Now, saying everything I've said, this is all a benefit to the real meaning why we gather together every week. The main point, it isn't about you, it isn't about you, and it isn't about me. It's about the Creator and the Savior of the world. Every week we gather, we sing worship songs to him, and we pray and we read his word. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 29 says this in the NLT. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come into his presence. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. I want to stop there real quick. Maybe, I want to speak to somebody out there right now. Maybe you stopped going to church because I think you forgot what church was about. You say, I don't like that music. I don't like that word. I don't like this or that. And it's always been about you. But when church coming together has never been about you, although you're transformed in the midst of it and you get the byproducts of being in his presence, it's always been about God. Maybe you've been singing that old song, it's all about me, not you, Jesus. It's about my glory, right? As if you should do things my way. I alone am God. No, it's about God. It's not about us. So right now is a great time to look at the priorities in your life. Join a church that loves God and loves people. And not only do they keep it in the garage, Jesus gives us the keys to squeal on out of this garage. Come on now. And get to work. See what this baby can do. His glory. When we gather to worship God, it's because he's worthy of our praise. We need to thank Jesus. We need to worship our God. And to worship is to declare who God is and what place he has in our life. As we make that declaration, our hearts and our minds, they line up with the truth of our worship, right? You ever come into church before and you're just like not feeling it, but you start singing songs and you remind your flesh that your spirit is stronger and your flesh is weak, and then all of a sudden things start flipping in your life and it takes 2, 3, 4 songs to finally get in it, but you find yourself on your knees, you find yourself giving reverence to the one that deserves it, you find yourself that no matter how bad the kids were before you came to church, no matter how bad it was you got in that argument, no matter how bad your outfit is, even if you're wearing a brown shoe and a black shoe, no matter what it is or how you feel, all of a sudden Jesus is king in your life. It's because you realized you were in worship and you gave God the glory he deserved and you did it with other people. Just now I'm starting to preach at the very, very end. See, if we make that declaration of who God is in our lives and we declare who God is to us and into the world, our hearts and our minds are going to line up to the truth of our worship. As we worship together, we will all draw nearer to God. Matthew 18:20 says this, "For where 2 or 3 or 4 are gathered," "are gathered together as my followers, I'm there among them." Now, we're not physically together right now, but we are connected and we are having church. So if there's somebody near you right now before I close, and if you can safely hold their hand, if they're in your family right now, if they're in your family, right? Y'all don't hold hands up there. If they're in your family and you're at home right now and you're regularly around them, I want you to hold their hands. As we do that now, I'm going to close in prayer as a church family, and we're going to worship Jesus praying together. Will you do that now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You got to go get that kid. Yep, that kid right over there. You know, he's running around. Go grab him. Amen. Stand right here. I'm going to extend my hands to you. I'm going to pray, and we're done for today. And I want to invite you, if you live in Cedar Rapids, you don't have something to do on a Friday night, which you're probably chilling at home with some chips, right? Put the chips down. Join us, right? Be here at 6:45. You don't have to go to this church. You just got to be a part of the church. Please join us. We're going to pray. We're believing God for some miracles. We've already seen some people get off ventilators, but we're believing there's more. There's a man that's still in a induced coma that needs a miracle. We come together. I believe God can do something amazing. He designed it that way. That's what he did. He created the church. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the church. I thank you for the days and the ages of your judges. I thank you for the days and the ages of your prophets. I thank you for the times that you proclaimed your good news through these men and these women, God, back in the day. I thank you for that. But Jesus, when you came, you established the church. You established us. And when you ascended to heaven, after you rose from the grave, Pentecost is coming, our celebration of here for Pentecost. When you arose from the grave and you ascended to heaven, you said, "My Father's sending another, a comforter, presence and the power of the Holy Spirit." At that moment, the church in the upper room of the 120 were endured with power from on high, and instantaneously, Peter and the disciples and others were filled with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was at that moment they were able to grab the keys and drive. Father, we ask for that again. People that are hurting right now from churches, happened to me twice in my life. Was that close, God, to never coming back into an organized church again, but I realized that people are people and God is God and you must forgive them. Why would you expect them to be perfect if you're not perfect? perfect yourself. God, thank you for that conviction upon my heart. They want to worship you to the best of their ability. God, I pray that people are coming back to the church. When we can gather together again, people are coming back and you're restoring broken hearts. You're restoring broken souls and the things that were said and the things that were done. And you're coming together, not because people need to be perfect, but because we worship the perfect one together. And that's how you designed it. Not for us to be lone rangers, but to come together and be a part of a group so your worship will be lifted on high and that you'll endue us with power. Endue us with power, God, so we can go out and drive and go the places we're called to go to. And that we don't want to just sit here and read your manual and shine our car. We must get out and do the things that you've called us to do, but we must be equipped here. God, thank you for the church. Thank you for building us up and shaping us. Lord, I ask that right now, everybody who is listening at this moment, may you fill them with your presence. May your love just shine upon them wherever they're at right now in their life. And I pray that your power and your presence come into that house. And if they don't know you as Savior, I pray that you start speaking to their heart. Or if they've ran from you and they've done the things of the world, but you are allowing this time to let priorities and things in their life to go again and to think again, and the Spirit of God is speaking to them. If that's them, may you be with them right now. Will you just follow me in this prayer as I close? If that's you today and you want to come back to God or you want to restore, I'm praying for anybody who needs restoration and relationships with the church and with our Father, our Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right now, say this: Lord Jesus, heal me. Set me free. Restore my heart, my mind, my emotions, and my soul. I give it to you right now. And I thank you. Forgive me of my sins and my unforgiveness. I pray that today you will speak to me with a louder voice than ever before. I give you my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We love you. Thank you for joining us for church. We invite you back. Love you. Bye for now.